Thank you for joining us, whether you're here or online. We're happy to have you here. And join us on this cold February morning. So to receive the call to worship this morning, I invite you to rise in body or spirit as I read from Psalms 95. The Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the flock under his care. So as we hear the Lord's voice this morning, let us turn to one another and welcome each other here.
Please be seated.
Thank you for your singing. What a gift it is to have you lead us in the presence of God and worship here this morning. Over the last few weeks, we've have been asking for some more volunteers, and just want to say thank you to all those who have responded to that. It's been very encouraging, and it's been very uplifting for the leaders of the different ministries of the church. Just have more and more people just continue to raise their hand and say, sign me up, how can I help? And so just on behalf of the church and the ministry leaders, we just want to say thank you for your willingness to do that. It's just once again a testament to the goodness of the people that are here in this church and just their willingness to serve. The cry for volunteers continues today, because today we launch our campaign to get people to step into roles in our council. So we're going to be sending out letters this week to people of our congregation asking if they be prayerfully consider stepping into some leadership roles within the church. Our church is run by volunteers. This is a church run by the people of the church. It's not run by a CEO. It's just run by us as a collective body of Christ. And to make that possible, we have elders who take care of the spiritual well-being of our church. We have deacons who are responsible for going out and being the mercy of God, both to the people of this church and to our community at large. And then also our administrative board that just kind of makes the decisions of the direction of our church and makes sure we're on cue with our vision of our church. And so expect those letters to be coming, and we just ask that you prayerfully consider. And in the same way that you've been stepping into leadership positions, we just ask you to prayerfully consider. And for those who have been serving for the last couple of years, you have been on church leadership during the most crazy time imaginable. And you have shown once again just how critical it is that our church is led by those who have different diverse opinions, but also a willingness to just serve out of a prayerful servant's heart. And for those who have been serving the last couple years, thank you so much for the way you've served and the way you've helped us navigate some very tricky dynamics, both in our world and in our church. And so thank you so much. And just kind of to speak into some of these roles, we've asked a few people on that have been serving in our church leadership just kind of share a few words. And today we have a video from Deb Stapley, so we will show that right now.
Was forced to go to Florida by Doug, my husband. But I'm here, I was asked to talk a little bit about what it means to be an elder. when I first started, it was a little intimidating. I didn't know very many people on my list at all. And I've been able to get to know people, and that's been really exciting and fun. People have really been accepting and willing to get to know me too. So it's been a mutual relationship. The shut-ins that I've visited have really brought a lot of joy, which I didn't expect. I thought that was gonna be hard to make those visits, and these ladies are just bringing so much joy to my life. They get excited to see me. They have coffee ready when I come, and we sit and chat, and sometimes we can just talk about things forever and not realize how much time has gone by. And then other times, it's just a quick visit, but it just made their day or it made my day. I was shocked at how much of a blessing it was for me when I would leave those visits. So if you're thinking that maybe you're not qualified to do this job, or that you don't have the time for it, or any other reasons, I think that you want to give it more of a chance than just taking your name off the list. I think you want to think about it, pray about it, and open your heart to the possibility of being a blessing to others, but then also receiving blessing from them too. There's a lot going on at West End now, right now, and it's a great time to get involved, and this is a great way to do it. It really is a way to create a sense of community and to motivate people to get back into church and get involved again. And I think that you don't want to miss this blessing. And if it's what you're called to do, there's no greater joy than doing what you're called to do, knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do. So take some time to think about it, and God will equip you if this is meant for you.
To apologize for is for not taking us with her to Florida. That I don't feel sorry for her in Florida on this day, but what a beautiful testimony, and just a reminder that we just need people that are have the heart of Christ, and just to step into these leaderships and just take a few minutes just for elders to call on some people and just check in with them. I mean, what a beautiful gift that is. Or just as deacons, just to be able to reach out to people who could use a little extra help. And so this is just stuff that you guys do in the normal days of your life, and this would just be a way that you can step into it in a formal way, in a great way in church. So just prayerfully consider that. Along those lines, just a few other announcements today. For those who go to the Dan Cruzy Bible study on Sunday nights, we've changed the date, so we're meeting tonight. Apparently, they don't want to meet on Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know why that would be, but the Bible study for Dan Cruzy is going to meet tonight. That will be in the gym area starting at 5:30. There's food, there's fellowship, and a beautiful in-depth look at the book of Romans. And so I invite you to come out to that tonight. For our teenagers, so middle school and high school, we're doing a special youth group tonight. We are combining middle school and high school tonight, and college age, and parents, you're welcome to come too. We have a guest speaker coming who is the son-in-law to Lois Blake. He's got a remarkable story, so that will be from 5 o'clock till 7 o'clock, so a different time. So teenagers, we'd love to invite you to come to that, parents as well. And then and anything else? Oh, yeah, visitors. If you are visiting with us today, welcome. We are just so grateful that you are here today. In the pews, you will see some visitor cards. If you are willing to fill out one of these cards right here, there is a welcome desk over by the elevators in the back of church. You drop that off, they will hand you a bag of swag. So a little visitor card in exchange for a little swag bag. We'd love to just get to know you a little bit and see how we can pray for you and be involved in and help you out in any way that we can. So, and then last and certainly not least, there is a little something back here I gotta grab here a minute. Hold on. I'm still here. I'm still alive. There's this little something I found back here. Apparently it's somebody's birthday, and I don't think he really wanted us to share it, but Pastor Dan, happy birthday today. I think a round of happy birthdays in order. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. And with this, kids, you are dismissed for your time of worship in the back of church. So, kids, you can make your way down to the basement. If you're not sure where to go, just follow the masses. You'll make your way there. The best part about this is Dan was driving to church today. He told his wife not to tell anybody that it was his birthday. Sorry about that, but not really. Before we enter a time of prayer, just to bring you up to date on a few people in our church that we want to mention today. One of those is Elma Kuiper. Elma Kuiper fell on Friday night. Took several hours for somebody to realize that she had fallen, and so she was in her garage, cold. They got her to the hospital, and she has a broken hip, so she was in surgery yesterday. Surgery went very well, but she is going to be recovering from a broken hip. So we definitely want to remember Elma Kuiper. Dick and Lois Hayes in our prayers, and just as Elma begins this road to recovery. And then also yesterday I talked to Ching Liza. For those who have been members of our church for a long time, you might remember the Liza family. Nick Liza went through my youth group, and his mom. Her husband, Ching lives in Seattle right now. Her husband had a heart attack about 3 weeks ago, and it was a very massive heart attack, and he has been in the hospital and continues to decline and has been on life support. And so now they're kind of at this crossroads of whether or not they continue life support or not. So I told Ching that we would bring this up and that we'd also remember her in prayer. And also Tim Visser is still in Uganda. He tested positive once again for COVID and continues to hang out in Uganda longer than he anticipated. So we definitely remember Tim Visser as well in our prayers. So with that, let's go before our Lord and God in prayer. God, here on this wintry day in Michigan, we just come before you and we just recognize that we live in a world that is still so broken. So much unrest in our world, and God, we look out at what's happening in Ukraine with Russia and the rising tension that seems to be occurring out there, and we just look to you and just thank you that you are a God that is sovereign. That even when this world seems out of control, that you are a God that is still control, or is still in control. So God, whether it's the chaos in our world or whether it's the brokenness in our lives, we just look to you. We thank you for the invitation to bring our brokenness and the things on our heart and our mind before you here today. So God, whatever is on the hearts of all of us here today, whatever it is that we are dealing with, we just pray that you will just meet us in these moments. God, we rejoice in the birth of a baby boy to Phil and Lori Miller. We're just so excited for them and that everything went so smooth with this pregnancy. And so, God, we just pray will you be with these parents as they just adjust to life with a new baby in their house. So exciting and yet so little sleep. So, God, we just pray that you'll be with them. God, this week we also think of Josh and Amelia Mulder as they get ready to welcome a new baby into their lives. God, just may you be with them. May this birth just go smooth with no excitement, no unexpected anything, and just bless them with a baby in their arms later this week. And may we hold them in prayer and pray that you'll grant them an overwhelming sense of peace in this journey that lies ahead. God, we pray that you'll be with Alma Kuiper. We are grateful that she is recovering and that surgery went well. God, we pray that you'll grant her the strength that she needs for the journey that lies ahead of recovery, and we pray that recovery will be swift and that you'll bring her back into our presence here real soon. God, we pray that you'll be with Steve Coy as he continues to recover. It's been quite a journey for Steve, and we just ask that you'll be with him. We're grateful for the COVID that he had that did not settle into his already struggling lungs. And God, we just pray that you'll continue to grant him healing, help him to get stronger each day, and that when it's all said and done, that we look to you and we know that healing occurred because of you and the graciousness you've shown him in his life. Lord, we pray that you'll be with Ching and Nick Lisa. God, may they know that they are not alone. Even though they live far away, that they still are close to our hearts and very near to you, a God that holds them close even in these very difficult moments. Grant them wisdom and peace for where they're at in this journey. And God, and yet we still hold out hope that you are the God who can raise the dead, that you can put your hands of life on her husband Jeff, and that you'll bring healing where there seems to be no hope. God, we pray that you'll be with Tim Visser. Be with his wife, and pray you'll be with the Smalgans as they wait for their dad and their husband to come back home. And God, we just pray that that will happen sooner than later. May he make the most of his time in Uganda, and we thank you for his heart to serve you that led him to that place in the first place. So God, there are so many more things that are going on in our lives. There's so many things going on in our world. And so, God, we just take whatever is on our heart here in this moment. We lay them before you. We thank you that you are a God who says your burden is light. So, God, we exchange the things we wrestle with and take on your peace and your grace. And thank you that you are a God that loves us so deeply. Lord, this we pray in your name. Amen.
Now am I? Oh. Sorry. Is that better? Okay. All right. As I was saying, it's my birthday today, so no. It's just we're grateful to be part of this church family, loving, caring, encouraging people as we serve the Lord together. So thank you for your support. So as you can see, we're going to be coming to the Lord's table here in just a few moments to receive the bread and the cup as we remember the death of our Lord Jesus and his sacrifice for us. But before we do that, we're going to be nourished by the word, and then we'll be nourished through the table that the Lord provides. So Jesus once asked his disciples this very important question. Remember, who do you say that I am? Simple question, but a really important one, right? And the answer is really important. So for these several weeks, we're kind of thinking together about the answer to that question for us. You know, who do we say that Jesus is? And do we have an accurate view of who he is? So we're just allowing Jesus to speak for himself, and we're looking at those seven places in the Gospel of John where Jesus just describes himself, beginning with the words, I am. I am. You know, I think everybody kind of has a perception in their mind of who Jesus is, right? And I think that perception is probably influenced by our culture, probably influenced by the assumptions that we have and some of our own experiences, maybe some bad teaching that we've gotten along the way. But I think it's just easy to sort of wind up with a distorted view of Jesus. And I think the reason that our view sometimes is distorted is because the world that we live in is separated by 2,000 years from the world that Jesus lived in. There's just this huge cultural gap, right? And so sometimes when Jesus speaks within that culture or he uses images from within that culture, we're sometimes kind of stumped, right? We go, what's he talking about? We don't get the full force of it. And that's especially true with the passage that we're talking about today, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Just before we read the passage then, I want to just give you a little bit of cultural background because I think it's kind of hard for us to connect sometimes with this saying of Jesus because most of us don't actually know any shepherds. You know any shepherds? You know, I don't really know any shepherds, so it's kind of hard for us to figure out exactly what Jesus is saying. But back in Jesus' day, shepherds and sheep were really important. It was just a part of their whole life. Many of the Israelites were shepherds. Watching their sheep in the desert, and it was just a big part of their economy. It was a big part of their religious life. Obviously, sheep were used in the temple and so on like that. And just sheep were very important to them. Sheep were used, they were using them for their wool. They used sheep for meat. And there were just sheep all over the place. And sheep had this reputation for, well, not being the most intelligent creatures. In fact, they were kind of stubborn, which made the world in which they live a little bit dangerous. You know, because there were rocky places in the desert, which made the footing maybe kind of perilous. There were wild animals who enjoyed lamb chops for dinner, right? And all of those reasons and more, sheep needed a shepherd to guide them, to protect them, to feed them, to lift them up when they fell down. And I think if we're honest, I think we'd have to admit that I think we kind of need the same thing, don't we? And the Bible very often compares us to sheep. So does that mean that God looks at us as these cute, cuddly, adorable little creatures like sheep? Well, no, because we're dumb and stubborn too, and we fall down a lot, and we need somebody to pick us up. And in this passage, Jesus is basically saying, I am that shepherd that you need. I'm that shepherd. that you all need. And I think there's never been a more significant time in our culture than right now for us to hear what Jesus is saying and to hear his voice today. Because I think we live in sort of this modern desert, don't we? We just do. We live in a world that is increasingly kind of confusing. It's challenging. It's difficult. In many ways, it's even dangerous. There's violence and aggression. There's this amoral worldview all around us. And I think in the midst of this moral chaos and in the midst of this threatening desert, there's a clear voice that we need to hear who says, I am the good shepherd. So let's listen to the voice of Jesus today as he invites us. So we're going to look at John chapter 10, and I invite you to stand up this morning as we read this scripture together. We're going to start at verse 1. Sorry, we're going all the way through verse 30. So here we go, John chapter 10. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they will follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. The Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And that's God's word for us today. You can go ahead and sit down. So let's talk about three things today, just briefly. That is the shepherd's care, the shepherd's credential, and the shepherd's call. Okay? Shepherd's care, then his credentials, and his call. So let's first of all think about the shepherd's care. The shepherd is caring, and I see his care here in several different ways. First of all, he knows us. The shepherd knows us. In verse 1, Jesus talks about a sheep pen where the sheep are kept. So back in the first century, if you walk through a town, you would see these kinds of enclosures, these little sheep pens, very often with a little roof, open air, walls, and so on, where the sheep are kept. Now, I couldn't find a picture of an ancient one, so I have this one, and just to kind of give you the idea. But there's walls there, kind of open air, and then this roof on top. And it was common to see the flocks of several different shepherds in this one pen. And the shepherd would take his own flock out to graze during the day and then would sort of rent space in this pen at night. So when the shepherd came in the morning, he would call his own sheep. And the other sheep would just kind of ignore him because they didn't know that voice. But when he called his own sheep knew that voice. There was an intimate relationship and would immediately follow him. The shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep follow him, and there's this intimate relationship between them. Let me ask you something. How many voices are shouting to you in a typical week? How many voices? You know, I just read this week that the average internet user sees 2,700 ads per week. And that's just online, not counting TV, billboards, radio. That's just ads. Then there's all the other stuff that you read online, the thousands of images and photos that you see. And then there's the actual voices of teachers, politicians, newscasters, friends, bosses, co-workers. I mean, it's kind of crazy. And it can be confusing, and it can be very stressful. Wouldn't it be amazing if there were just one clear, true voice that just rose above all those other voices so that in the midst of all that confusion, you could just go, now that's a clear voice. That voice sounds right. That voice is true. That voice is good. And I'm going to listen to that voice. Wouldn't that be great? Well, there is such a voice. And he knows us. Do we listen to that voice? And then secondly, the shepherd shows us his care in the way that he leads us. In verse 4, it says that he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him. Notice the shepherd does not drive the sheep. He doesn't go behind them, driving them, pushing them forward, whipping them, or something like that. He goes ahead of them, and he leads by his own example. And if you study the life of Jesus, I mean, this is what you see. Watch the way that he treated people. Watch the way that he dealt with people that sort of offended him. And Jesus says, follow my example. I'm leading you. Follow me. Watch me. And he invited people to walk in his steps. You know, aren't there people that we have in our lives, maybe, I don't know, politicians, entertainers, maybe spiritual leaders, and we respect these people. We want to emulate these people. Then all of a sudden you read about these people in one day, right? And all of a sudden you find out they crashed. Right? They made shipwreck of their faith, or they disappointed us in some way. That can be very disconcerting, isn't it? I mean, we respected these people, and then they go ahead and they crash. I mean, even historical leaders that we admire, Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, you know, people that we admire, they all had their dark sides. Even some of the biblical leaders, David, Abraham, Moses, Peter, and Paul, they had their days that were dark. But listen, Jesus has no dark side. He's the light of the world, and he's the leader who's worth following and following his example. He will never disappoint us. So he knows us. He leads us. And there's one more way that the shepherd cares for us, and that is he protects us. Look at verses 7 and 9 here. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." Now, the first time I read this passage, I was really confused. Like, okay, Jesus, I mean, are you the shepherd or are you the gate? Because he says both, right? And Jesus, are you confusing your metaphors here? What's kind of going on? And then I discovered something. Remember we talked about the sheep pens just a few minutes ago where they kept the sheep at night? Well, sometimes when the weather was warm, the shepherds wouldn't bring the sheep back into town at night, but they would keep them out in the pasture and they would use a different kind of pen, which they still use today, and it looks something like this. They'd make a little pile of rocks and put it in a little rectangle or a little circle and then kind of keep the sheep in that pen at night. So there was an Old Testament scholar named Sir George Adam Smith, and he was traveling through the Middle East with a guide, and they came across a shepherd and his sheep. And they started talking to him, and the shepherd showed him the sheep pen where he kept the sheep at night. And the shepherd said very proudly, "When my sheep are in this pen, they are completely safe." And the tourist said, "But there's no gate." And the shepherd said, "I am the gate." Now keep in mind, this wasn't a Christian man quoting Jesus. You know, this was an Arab shepherd. And the tourist said, "What do you mean you're the gate?" And he said, "Well, you know, when it gets dark and the sheep are inside, I just lie across the opening there so that if a sheep wants to get out or if a predator wants to get in, they have to go through me. I am the gate." See, Jesus wasn't confusing his metaphors here. He wasn't schizophrenically switching back and forth between calling himself the shepherd and the gate. The shepherd is the gate, which means that it's his business to protect the sheep. So you're saying, okay, Pastor, that's a good deal. So you're saying if I follow Christ, I'm never going to get hurt? Well, no. Sorry, of course not. Everybody knows that's not true. But what does it mean? Well, it means at least a couple of things. First of all, it means that nothing gets by him. Nothing slips by him. When I'm following Christ, I know that anything that comes into my life is not random. It's not an accident. It's not outside of his control. It comes with a purpose. Whatever happens to me, at least Jesus allows it if he doesn't actually bring it into my life. And it's for his purposes and ultimately for my good. Nothing slips by him. And then also it means at the deepest level that I am completely safe. Completely safe. You know, even if my physical life gets hurt, my soul is secure in the hands of Christ. Nobody can take that away. I could lose my money. I could lose my health. I could lose the people that I love. But I can never, ever lose my relationship with Christ. And the worst thing that could happen to me in life, which is death, is just an entry into his presence. So at the deepest level, I am completely protected. And the more that I believe that and lean into that, I can stop worrying. And I can truly live and feel comforted. So when Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd, he knows us. He leads us. He protects us. That's what he's claiming about himself. And as usual, when Jesus said that, it had kind of a polarizing effect. There were some people who heard that and said, "You're crazy. You're demon-possessed." And then there were other folks who said, "Well, maybe we ought to listen a little bit more open." Listen, is Jesus polarizing today? Well, of course he is, right? Of course he is. And maybe some of you are sitting here today and you're thinking, "Yeah, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure about him." And you're thinking, when Jesus says he knows us and he leads us and he protects us, you're thinking, "Well, that really hasn't been my experience. That hasn't been me." And you're kind of struggling with your faith, and maybe you're holding back. So why should you stop holding back and then run after this shepherd? Let's just think for a minute about the shepherd's credentials. What gave Jesus the right to make this kind of claim? Well, a couple of things. First of all, his identity. Now, if you were a Jewish person in that day listening to Jesus, you would have immediately made all of these connections. Because all through the Old Testament, God promised that there was a Messiah that was coming who was going to rescue his people. And several times, that Messiah is described as, guess what? A shepherd. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, great example. This is talking about the coming Messiah. Says he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. So when Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, these Jewish listeners realized, he's not just calling himself another prophet. He's claiming to be the prophet, the promised one. And later on in the passage, they asked Jesus straight up, "Look, are you the Messiah? Well, then tell us plainly." And Jesus, in his usual mysterious way, says, "I already did tell you. I did tell you. And you're just not open, and you just don't believe." In verse 30, he goes a step further when he says, "I and the Father are one." And so he's not just claiming to be the Messiah, someone who was sent from God, like an agent from God to do work on God's behalf. He's actually claiming to be God himself. "I and the Father are one." Now, if that comes out of the mouth of anybody else, it would sound crazy. But of course, Jesus isn't anybody else. He presented himself as the Messiah. And he provided evidence of that in his life. But his other credential is just as important. And I'm talking about his scars. The scars on his hands. The scars on his feet. And when Jesus spoke these words, of course, he didn't have these scars yet. But as he often did, he was looking ahead and pointing ahead to the central event in his life, which would be going to the cross. And four times in this passage in John 10, Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And of course, the reason that he does that is because you and I are in big trouble. I believe in the Christian faith, there is no other faith system, there is no other philosophy that truly takes sin seriously. Other philosophies say things like, we made some mistakes, and people are basically good, and we just got to let that good side come out. And Jesus says, "No, y'all are messed up. Seriously messed up. You're sinners." And that's why we get addicted to stuff. And that's why we keep arguing with our spouse. And that's why we struggle with anxiety and a whole host of other dark stuff in our life. Because sin is a reality. And so Jesus doesn't minimize it or sugarcoat it here. He just calls it what it is. And you go, "Man, that's kind of depressing. No wonder I don't like coming to church. Y'all are talking about sin all the time. It's kind of depressing. The fact that we're sinners and God hates sin, it's actually kind of scary. But here's why it's ultimately not depressing. Because Jesus didn't just call out our sin. He did something about it. Something so costly to himself. He laid down his life for the sheep. And he took what we deserve for our sin so that we could be forgiven. I'm telling you, I don't know of any other religion or any other philosophy that has such an accurate view of human darkness and at the same time provides such a powerful remedy of salvation and redemption from that darkness. The scars of Jesus make him truly unique. So, based on those credentials, Jesus came to this earth and he called people to believe in him. And in the year 2022, Jesus is still calling people to listen to his voice, to follow him. And so, let's think for a minute about the shepherd's call. Now, how you hear this call depends where you are sort of spiritually in your life. So let me just first of all talk about his call for those who are in the flock, for those of us maybe who consider ourselves to be Christians, because the biggest challenge for us is what it says in verse 4. It says, his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And so I guess my question for all of us who are Christians is do we follow him? Do we hear his voice? I mean, whose voice do you hear? I mean, that you instantly recognize it, that you instantly obey it, that you want to follow it and live that kind of life. Is that truly the voice of Jesus? You know, sometimes the voice of Jesus is really comforting and appealing, right? Like when he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And you're thinking, oh, I like that. I'll come. Or like when Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And you go, oh yeah, that makes me feel good. But there are other times when the voice of Jesus is very challenging and very countercultural. Like when he talks about hell. Or when he talks about divorce. Or when he talks about money and greed. And you know, you're reading those places in the gospel and you think, well, I'm just going to skip over that part. I mean, this is scary Jesus. I want to get back to nice Jesus. And sometimes the voice of Jesus makes us very uncomfortable. So honest question for all of us here. Whose voice do we recognize and follow? You know, I know some Christians who seem to be more attuned like to the voice of like Sean Hannity rather than Jesus Christ. I know some Christians who seem to be more attuned to the voice of Joel Osteen than the voice of Jesus Christ. And that's dangerous. Not because everything those people say is wrong. They're just not the good shepherd. And Jesus says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. And for those of us who are Christians, I think this is our biggest challenge. When's the last time you read all the way through the Gospels? They're not that long. This past week, how much time did you spend meditating on Scripture, praying, listening for that voice, compared to the time that you spent on social media or watching sports? I'm not trying to guilt anybody here or anything. I'm just saying that if we want to experience and know this shepherd, we have to listen to his voice. And then when you're listening to, you know, Sean Hannity or Joel Osteen or even me or anybody else, and they say things and you go, oh, well, that's okay. That's good. And then they say some other things and they go, and you go, oh, wait a minute, that's off. That doesn't sound like the voice of Jesus. And we need to get attuned to the voice of Christ. It's worth the effort. But some of you here this morning, maybe are on maybe the edge. Maybe you're seeking, and maybe you're asking questions, and you don't have all the answers. And I just want to say to you, I'm so glad you're here. We are glad you're here. This is a place where you're not going to be judged. This is a place where you can ask questions. This is a place where you can find some answers. And we're going to give you the time and the space to do all of that, because this passage is also speaking to you. Verse 16, Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I'm going to bring them in too. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. See, Jesus knew that there were a lot more people that he was inviting to believe in him, and he wanted them in his flock, and he wasn't satisfied with the number of sheep that he had. He wanted more. And notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I'm going to wait right here until they come. What does he say? He says, I must bring them in also. And he makes it his business to go out and find them and carry them and bring them back. It's interesting, there's another place in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus kind of gives this same kind of teaching. He told them this parable. He said, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and he loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that's lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he puts it on his shoulders rejoicing, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, I found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. You would think that the shepherd would be pretty happy with what he had, right? I mean, 99 out of 100? I mean, that's pretty good numbers. That's a pretty good business model, right? 99 out of 100. But Jesus wasn't happy with that. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't stop thinking about that one lost sheep. And his love for that one lost sheep drove him to go out and seek and find it. So my question for you today is, are you that lost sheep? Have you been resisting him? Have you been avoiding him? Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus has so much love for you, so much care, that he's going to come out and search for you and look for you. I mean, he's going to keep reminding you that all the stuff that you've been trying to do in your life to make it work on your own isn't working. That empty feeling that you have, that's from him. He's going to keep putting people in your path. He's going to keep nudging you and giving you clues and inviting you. Listen, above all of those voices, those thousands of voices that bombard us out there in the culture, if you will listen, I'm telling you, there is one clear, true voice that we can trust. And he's inviting all of us to come home. Listen, he's not going to force you. Jesus never forces the sheep against their will, but he just invites us to come. And now he invites us to come to this table. And the most outstanding feature about this good shepherd is that he lays down his life for the sheep. I mean, that is just amazing. That is absolutely unique. Nobody else does that. And Jesus says, I laid down my life to take the punishment that you should have had. I laid down my life so that you can have the forgiveness and the redemption that God desires for you. I laid down my life to reconnect you with the creator of this world. And I laid down my life to show you how to live, the example of how to go in this world. When Jesus says, I lay down my life, notice he does it willingly. He says, I lay it down. No one takes it from me. I lay it down and I take it back up again. What kind of love is that? That he would willingly die and give his life for the sheep. I mean, what wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul, oh, my soul, what wondrous love is this? So here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you want this goodness, if you want this life that he offers, if you want this guidance and protection that he promises, then come to this table and receive these elements, this bread and this cup, and take it within your body and say, I hear your voice, Jesus. I hear your voice. And I want to follow you. I admit I've been listening to some other voices, Jesus, but yours is the only true and authoritative voice, and I want to follow you. If you want that, then come to this table. Because Jesus took bread one night and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As we prepare our hearts and minds to come to the table, let's think about this good shepherd. And then let's let the words of this song be our prayer. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Let's sing together and prepare to receive the elements.
Bird Jesus, thou hast bought us.
your elements ready at this point. Just remain standing. We'll just stay standing and do this. Hopefully those of you at home have prepared some elements too and can join with us together as a congregation. So Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of Christ was broken to forgive us of all of our sins. And take, drink, remember, and believe that the blood of Christ was shed to forgive us of all of our sins. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He is indeed the good shepherd. Receive God's parting blessing now. The grace of Jesus, the love of our God our Father, the fellowship and presence of his Holy Spirit be with all of you now and forever. Go in peace. Amen.